Every year, there's lots of buzz around these lists of dynamic people shaping our world. There's 20 under 20, 40 under 40, and Slate Magazine recently revived its 80 over 80 list, 80 of the most influential Americans who are 80 years old and older. We'll link to the full list at hereandnow.org. Slate reporter Molly Almstead says this decade-old project is, in a way, meant to poke fun at society's obsession with youthful exceptionalism.
Shortly before we published it, there was the Forbes 30 under 30 and a lot of people feeling, I don't want to say depressed, but there is just like a little bit of a bummer to some degree because it is such an absurd thing to highlight or just put on a pedestal all this achievement at such a young age when if you look at the reality, so much of the power in America is actually people who are quite old.
Making the list is former CBS News anchor Dan Rather, who Slate describes as a quote, archetype of the sober, authoritative, old-school American newsman. Some of that actually shines through in his latest book, What Unites Us, U.S. Reflections on Patriotism, touching on themes of resilience and hope. And he's right on the news through his Facebook and Twitter feed, which is full of sharp political analysis and blunt explanations of current events. Dan Rather, Happy New Year, and welcome to Here and Now.
Well, a Happy New Year to you and to everybody listening. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Yes, so you've been on quite a few lists in your lifetime. You're one of the most influential and powerful journalists in the country. What's your reaction to being included on this list and maybe how we value in our society older people?
Well, first of all, I'm very appreciative of the honor and I do consider it to be an honor. I say that with a great smile because the longer ago, the more I know how important it is not to take yourself too seriously. So, you know, frankly, I'm 89 years old, but I'm still trying to get used to the fact that I'm over 80. to be included in a list of, you know, 80 over 80, it still takes a little getting used to me, but I only have a year to get used to it before I move into my 90s, Lord willing. But I do go into every day, and I was thinking today that I'm just so grateful to have been able to live this long and generally speaking, have my health that I shouldn't be complaining about anything.
I know all of us need to take that lesson. And who knows, there'll be a 90 over 90 list, hopefully sometime soon, that you might be on. You're also Twitter famous, Dan. You've been tweeting scathing rebukes of President Trump and have spoken pretty bluntly about the need for economic relief. How liberating is it for you to talk freely while also being a part of the discourse?
Well, Twitter has been a pleasant surprise to me, which at least a borderline shock that I was slow to come into Twitter. I was not eager to do it. I thought, you know, it's too short a form for me. But I work, my company is called News and Guts, and I have a lot of young people on staff anyway. Some time ago, they encouraged me, almost demanded that I try Twitter. And as I say, it's been a very pleasant surprise. For one thing, on Twitter, you can use humor a lot more than what I would call, you know, regular news platforms. At any rate, I have enjoyed it a great deal. And, you know, we'll see going into 2021 whether as many people pay attention to Twitter as they have in over the last 4 years. But that's yet to be determined.
Yeah. How would you describe the connection you feel with Americans on social media? I mean, you spent 24 years talking directly to us every night as the anchor for CBS News. That's a deep connection, but it's also different because you weren't having conversations with us the way you do on social media.
Well, exactly. The social media in many ways is much more satisfying because it is a conversation. Whereas when you do a standard newscast over traditional television, it's a one-way conversation by and large. People can write you letters and that sort of thing. But social media has its downside, its dark side, as you and I both know, and it's some negative things about it. But for one who, a practitioner, if you will, in it, the biggest thing about it is you build a community and you have a conversation with the community, you get feedback. And frankly, I learn a great deal. And I can't read every comment that comes through, but I do read, you know, regularly in the comments, and I learn a lot, and frequently what I learn is that I've been wrong about something. It's great to have the two-way conversation with people.
And in thinking about learning from mistakes, your retirement from CBS News in the mid-2000s followed this debacle involving a piece that ran on 60 Minutes about President Bush's National Guard service, which was later discovered to be erroneous due to some unauthenticated documents. What lessons did you learn from that?
Well, I learned a lot of humility from it without going into the details and getting into any arguing about what was true and what wasn't true. I learned humility, which is not a word generally associated with past or present television anchor people. I learned who my real friends were, and you know, many people that I thought were friends turned out not to be. But I also learned that when you get knocked down, you have to get up. It's not healthy for your career. It's not healthy for you to stay down. And it was a hard knockdown, and it was not easy to take. But what I tried to do was take a deep breath, suck it up, and get up and say, well, all right, a lot has gone right in my career, to say the least. And it's not nearly over. I still have my health. I still want to work. And so I went right back to work trying to rebuild what was left of my career.
Hmm. Do you worry that the errors we make as journalists erode public trust in journalism? I mean, I'm thinking about the situation we're in today where many people don't trust us. They get their information from social media, or they believe in conspiracy theories. Do you take or feel any responsibility in that way?
Well, I do, and I certainly do worry about that. And the answer to what we can do about it is, the first thing is do our jobs as well as we can do them, and keep in mind that anytime we make a mistake, we need to own up to the mistake and explain what happened, be very transparent. But I do worry about it going forward, when people ask themselves, well, where can I get news that I depend on? And I think an important part of going forward will be to educate the upcoming generations, and say to be more knowledgeable and discerning consumers of news, is going to be a very important part of it, because this business of public distrust of the media and various leaders, including political leaders, trying to diminish it, our trust, is not going to go away. It's going to be with us going forward.
Mm-hmm. I love this tweet that you tweeted recently. I met a lot of you here in 2020. That was nice. The rest of the year was pretty much a dumpster fire, igniting a nuclear meltdown. I mean, we all hope 2021 is better. What are you hopeful for in this new year?
Well, I'm really hopeful for that the country will get an important new start. This is by no means assured, because some of our problems of 2020 are destined to overlap into 2021, first and foremost, the pandemic. And as we're already seeing with the lack of coordination of getting the vaccines out, this is very discouraging as we begin to start 2021. So we have to keep in mind that some of the problems are going to overlap. But the thing I'm really looking forward to, that the new year gives us, and a new administration gives us, a chance to sort of get a new start, a restart, if you will. I do think that if we can get the pandemic under control in some reasonable amount of time, which we, by the way, as you and I speak, we've not demonstrated we can do that. But if we can do that, then I think 2021 could turn out to be a pretty good year. There certainly will be economic difficulties still flowing in the wake of the pandemic. But, you know, it's part of turning the new calendar is having new hope. And my hopes are high. I think they're not unrealistic, but my hopes are high that we as a country, as a people, as a society, can get a fresh new start. And that new start will be a whole lot better than what we experienced in the year just past.
So looking forward to that new fresh start. And you just made it on this 80 for 80 list at 89 years old. So happy early birthday, Dan Rather, and happy new year.
Well, happy new year to you. And thank you very much for the opportunity to be with you today. Hope you have a great new year.
That's legendary journalist Dan Rather, one of the most influential Americans honored in Slate's 80 over 80 list.